Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm delighted to bring you a company that is going to be listing tomorrow on the ASX under the ticker code ASXDEX. Check them out. Now, Eugene Eliescu, he is the Managing Director of Duke Exploration. Duke Exploration are up in Queensland. They have a flagship project in the most extraordinary area that one, I guess, in history may not have been looking for copper, but Eugene's done this before. He has form, as I like to say. Eugene, welcome to Small Caps. Good to see you.
Oh, thanks, Kerry. It's good to have a chat and talk about our projects.
Well, you must be excited. You're listing tomorrow. You've raised $8 million at 25 cents. You've got some interesting people as new shareholders. Tell us, first up, what is this project that you have, I guess, what's the flagship project for Duke Exploration that you are getting, you think has got a lot of potential?
It's a Bundara project located somewhere between Moranbah and Mackay. It's right in the middle of the Bowen Basin coalfields. It's quite unbelievable that something like that's sitting in the middle of the coalfields. So who would ever...
Sorry to interrupt you, Eugene, but you say it's in the Bowen Basin in the middle of the coalfields. How did Duke Exploration come across... Like, how did you come across this particular project? And has anyone looked at it before? What's the history of this area? Because you say it's the coalfields. It's not a... And you're looking for copper.
Correct. Copper, silver, gold are our main commodities we're looking at, and for obvious reasons, given the prices of these commodities and how they're skyrocketing at the moment. We have an alliance with a company by the name of Kenex who do predictive modeling and targeting, uses all this fancy terminologies of fuzzy logic and neural networking, etc., to define areas of high prospectivity. That's through that process and monitoring the monthly database the mines department have to see what ground is vacant, what's occupied, who owns what, we're able to look at our prospectivity map and see what areas are vacant, so we can just go straight to the mines department and apply for it, which is what we did.
Well, being in the coal fields, you say that you go to the mines department and you're looking for an area. Were you looking right across Australia, or were you honing in on the Bowen Basin? Because we were just talking off camera a moment ago about the fact that this area that you've got, excuse me, has got a lot of potential. So I'm curious, sort of, from, we've got a lot of investors that will be watching this. What brought you, because you've got to narrow things down. I'm curious to know why nobody else had picked up on this and why you think that this is so much potential in a coal field area.
We basically are looking primarily in Eastern Australia, and the reason why we're looking there is because the database and the big data, so they call it, is massive, and we have most of that. Well, Kenex holds all that data, and they've been collecting data for the last 16 years. So we can quickly identify areas that are prospective for certain minerals and styles of mineralization. And that's how we identify the areas we want to pick up. Now, this was this was a non-competing application, so it was readily granted to us. Our data showed that there was historic mining there for that commenced in 1870s, and it was mined. It's got a rich history of mining. It was the largest copper mining operation in Australia, and it lasted for about 40 years, where they only mined what they could see at surface. And these were high grades, 5, 10, 20% copper grades.
What? 5, 10, 20, 20% copper at surface?
Yeah. And these are small, thin veins that swell and pinch and et cetera. Our focus is not, this is a copper porphyry system that has high grade veins in it. So, you know, with cutoff grades of around 0.3% these days, the halo around these veins can be quite large. We can identify 0.5%, 1% copper. We'll hit a lot of these veins, which will be a nice bonus in grade. There was recorded in the database quite a large area of soil anomalies, up to 7% copper in the soils. So if you don't have that information, you won't do anything. You know, you won't apply for it.
So that information, you talk about Kenex. Why Kenex? Have they got? Is there some sort of an arrangement with Kenex, or are they purely just there to provide you with the information? Is there a financial arrangement at all with Kenex and you?
We've had a strong alliance with Kenex. We have a consulting agreement with them. The two founders of Kenex, husband and wife team, both geologists. We've worked, myself, our company secretary, a director, who's also a director. We've worked with Greg Partington, the operations manager and founder of Kenex, on numerous companies, such as Explorum, who recently taken over by, who made a developed a gold project in WA. It's taken over by Romilius. We worked together on OzEx with Paul Fredericks as well, and Greg, Geodynamics, as well as Ross Mining. And Ross Mining, we were there for about 10 years. We developed four mines in Queensland, one in New South Wales. I was a country manager for the project we developed in the Solomon Islands, the country's first gold mine, which provided about 30% GDP to the country.
Wow.
We've closed mines, we've explored, we've built, we've operated, we've done our feasibilities, we've closed mines. So we've got strong corporate governance. We've done a lot, put it that way.
You've got the band back together. Is that what this is all about, Eugene?
Pretty much. We've got a couple of new players. We have a really good chairman based in New Zealand. We have a young geo who knows all the technology and computer work and GIS, etc., as the exploration manager. So we're on the road to a near mine development.
So look, I do want to, because you've got a couple of projects, Eugene, and I know that you like to underplay a few things, and I get that, I understand that, but you talk about this area being mined for 40 years and getting 5, 10, 20% copper. Just explain to us a little bit more about Mount Flora and why you're honing in on that as your flagship right now.
Well, Mount Flora is one of the prospects within the Bundara tenement.
Okay.
And we're working on, we've started our drilling. we will have a resource potentially very early next year, an inferred resource. We have also undertaken a number of different geophysical surveys, that being 2DIP, 3DIP, and EM. The EM, we're using over areas where there's high-grade massive sulfides, and the IP work we're using over what we call the disseminated mineralization. So we've got tools of exploration.
Tell me, Eugene, you say that Mount Flora is just one of the areas, but this is a Bundara as a tenement. Just give me a visual of how big this is and how mineralized you think it might be. And by the way, you know, you're not sure yet. The drilling is starting. You're listing tomorrow. It's very early days, but it's a very interesting story. So if you could paint a picture a little bit for our listeners about Bundara itself.
We've identified 104 targets that we need to follow up on. Those targets vary from having old workings, information on old workings, all the way through to soil sampling, geophysics, or even drilling. So they all have different levels of information there, but there's 104 of them for us to follow up. There are about five that are Mount Flora lookalike. So what?
Sorry. When you say a Mount Flora lookalike, what do you mean by that?
They have similar amounts of information as Mount Flora. We're developing Mount Flora because it has the most amount of information.
Okay.
We found that back in 1974, a company by the name of Endeavour drilled a resource there.
Okay.
And they mapped the underground workings and they drilled it, and it was never developed. So we trialed our geophysical tools, which was the EM, the 3D, and the 2DIP, over an area that's already known. We already have the information. We drilled three diamond holes into this area just to confirm a number of things. We first took the historic data and we did block modeling on it to come up with a resource. We drilled to confirm the block modeling and to confirm the historic drilling. And we said, well, there's a mine there.
There's a mine there. Okay.
Now, it wasn't a big mine. It had a strike length of about 400 meters. When we did our geophysical surveys over this, just to confirm how well this geophysics works over a known area, we found that the strike went up 300%. So it went from 400 meters to 1200 meters long. And it's still open to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and at depth.
Oh, goodness me. So you're only just getting started. You mentioned Endeavour were doing it in the mid-70s and they walked away. Why did they walk away at that stage if this area is so well endowed for mineralisation?
They would have walked away because of the copper price, I would imagine. I was aware that they had some issues with some landholders.
Right.
We are fortunate at this stage that we don't have any issues whatsoever with landholders, native title, environmental, community issues. These are all very, very low risk for us. And the potential for Bundara as a tenement to grow is huge. So our plan at the moment is as we're currently drilling a resource at Mount Flora, we're taking those geophysical tools and putting them over these lookalike Mount Flora lookalikes, and then we will drill once we get results of that. We will drill into those a few holes, diamond holes, into those prospects, and from that we should have the scope of how big this whole project will be.
And you're suspecting it's pretty big.
Yeah. We believe it will be big. And the important thing is, we'll get there very quickly, because this most porphyry systems are deep. Yeah. And expensive to drill. This one's at surface.
That is a bit. That's a massive difference, isn't it? Because as you say, most porphyries, you've got to go, you know, a kilometre and a half down, and drilling can be expensive. So this starts from the surface.
Yes, and before we start drilling the resource at Mount Flora, and I can see that if we get to an inferred resource, that the geophysics will come up with a couple of drill holes to say, hey, this one over here, it's going to be bigger.
Oh, really?
So we may change our focus from once we get to a resource at Mount Flora, we may end up focusing our dollars into one of the other deposits. But, you know, that's all subject to how well the geophysics works and the results we get.
You say it's quick. Is it quick because it is at surface and you don't have to drill deep?
That's part, yeah. Exactly. As I said, we have no other issues in terms of environment and community and landholders. In fact, the landholder who owns the property over Mount Flora is an earth moving contractor. He runs quarries.
Right.
You know, we're getting all this. We have the logistics. We have three or four coal mines surrounding us, literally, you know, 10 kilometres away. We have all the infrastructure, bitumen roads, power. It's, you know, it's just, it's a perfect storm.
Wow. So you've got all the infrastructure, everything's happening, and that's why you can be so quick.
We've got the people.
Yep.
We've got the experience.
Yep.
We've got the infrastructure. We've locked down all the issues that come with mining in terms of community and landholders and native title, heritage, all that kind of stuff. We've covered all that. It's just a matter of now drilling and coming up with a resource.
So you basically built a very strong foundation, and now it's just a matter of getting the drilling. So on listing tomorrow, you've got one drill rig up there, or what happens? What's going on?
Well, we've got just drill rigs are in big demand at the moment, so we're quite lucky to even get a rig.
Right.
So the rig's on site and drilling. The geophysics has started as well. So we have a team out of Toowoomba that does the actual surveys themselves, and then we do the interpretation, etc. And we're on our way, basically.
He's pretty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I will say this to you. I've known Eugene for a little while now, but he does like to underplay things a little bit. I know he's actually pretty excited about this, but Eugene, I'm really interested to hear what's going to happen with this area, this Bundara area, but you've got some other ones as well, I guess, that have flown under the radar. Let's just talk quickly about Prairie Creek, which is also in, I think that's southwest of Gladstone.
It's actually 70 kilometres north of Krakow in a similar style of geology. Okay. So it's an area that was drilled back in the early 80s, and they were CRA exploration, were exploring for a porphyry copper system.
Yep.
The geologist on site, who we happen to know and lives in Brisbane, he panned along a 1.4 kilometre strike, you know, visible gold. He saw an epithermal system there. So he requested the government to he requested CRA to drill a fence line across the strike, which he did. He came up with 52 meters from surface at 2.11 grams per ton gold. It had intercepts of 10 meters at 6 grams per ton and 6 meters at 10 grams per ton. According to the geologist on the rig, he said, his boss said, yeah, it's 1 million ounces, too small.
Whoa! Too small.
Price of gold was probably around the $400-$500 mark then, and it's a different story today.
It certainly is. The price of gold has strengthened quite a lot since then. We talked earlier about Bundara. We're now on Prairie Creek. Is Prairie Creek just sitting there quietly while you focus on Bundara and those 104 targets that you're looking at?
No, we are preparing 2D, 3D targeting, and we are looking to get on the ground and do some drilling. And there are half a dozen or so prospects there also that require follow-up. The interesting thing about Prairie Creek is that there's been no geophysics done over it. And that's a tool these days that will help you, you know, get down the track very quickly.
Mm.
So, you know, we will certainly do some drilling and we will certainly do some geophysics and get on the ground and explore it. The Bundara one will be our focus, obviously, because we want to get that up and running as quick as possible. We have two other tenements with that Bundara tenement that are under application, and they will potentially add to the Bundara resource.
How big is this area, Bundara, that we're talking about? Is it, you know, 2 square kilometres, 10? What's the size of this area?
If you think of MCG being an oval.
Yep.
So it's a flat surface at the bottom. The stadium is a ridge of mountains around it. Those mountains are the point of contact, and that's where all the locals or the old timers could see the visible gold, copper.
Visible copper, yep.
So it's about probably roughly 15 kilometres wide by maybe up to 10 kilometres, something like that.
Wow, so it's a little bit bigger than the MCG.
a little bit, yeah. We could have a good football game there. Nice and flat at the bottom. Great access. 1 kilometre from a bitumen road. Good landholders, pastoral lease holders around the area, apart from those that still own the freehold land and mining rights, royalties. They own the royalties.
So, but you've got no real issues with any of the landowners on this Bundara tenement. That you say that all of this, it's all sorted, we're ready to go. No challenge.
No. All the pastoral leases owners have assisted us with their dozers and clearing and doing bits and pieces. You know, they're in the middle of the coalfields. They understand.
Right.
You know, I mean, copper mining is nothing like coal mining in terms of impacts.
It's a lot less impact, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah. And the landholders understand that, and they're being very supportive. And, you know, all our CCAs, what we call CCAs, our agreements to work there, drill, et cetera, are all in place. Native Title have inspected the sites and they have no issues. So, as I said,
you're getting on with it, Eugene, but we're running out of time. I want to ask you very quickly. You also have Duke Exploration have an asset in New South Wales, Red Hill. Can we just quickly touch on that?
Yes, it's a deep porphyry system. It's in the Lachlan Fold, which is all, you know, everyone's looking for these porphyry systems in the Lachlan Fold. No one's looking in the coalfields.
Love it.
Apart from us. So it's not high priority at the moment. We have some interest in the Lachlan Fold through Emerson's, which is an ASX listed company. We, four of the tenements there, we have 10% free carried equity into it. So we're keeping an eye on it. We will get to Red Hill as soon as we advance our Bundara project and Prairie Creek.
Well, I often say to people listening, it's about getting the right people with the right asset. Sounds like Duke Exploration must be excited. It's listing tomorrow. So congratulations on that. As I said before, the ASX code is DEX. Sounds like there's going to be a lot of news flow, which we will, of course, cover on Small Caps. I wish you all the best, Eugene. You've done it before. You got the band back together. Copper is, they're saying it is the commodity of the 2021. So I guess it's right place, right time. Who would have thunk it? The middle of a coalfield.
Exactly. And I won't be surprised if I see your name on our share register.
Well, you said just before, you did say that there's a number of geos and technical people that are shareholders of Duke Exploration. So the ones that kind of understand this stuff. So look, I always say this, do your own research, ladies and gentlemen. We're just having a look at some of the opportunities out there. I wish you well. You've just recently raised $8 million at 25 cents. You're listing tomorrow. Exciting times, Eugene. Any final comments for our listeners out there?
Get in early.
Get in early. You heard it from Eugene, the Managing Director, Eugene Iliescu, Managing Director of Duke Exploration. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you.